Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a high drive into left field. This thing is back at the wall. It is gone! Say Don delivers an absolute bomb. Two-run shot. 6-4 Red Sox.
So I know we threw two heaters behind, but that's a dumb pitch. It really is. You threw two heaters behind him, by him. So as a hitter, what are you thinking? I got to get the head out. And that sets you up for a breaking ball down and away. He challenges him with the same fastball, and he hits it a mile.
Nice job by the guys, Will and Lou. Last night, extra innings. They blew a 4-0 lead, Fitz. They blew it in the ninth. Kenley had another blown save, but Say Don speaks last and speaks best. 7-5 the final in 10 innings. Red Sox are 3.5 back of Minnesota, who did win yesterday after kind of being in free fall. And if the Patriots could, at the end of the year, have a couple of guys like the Red Sox do develop over the course of the year, that might be enough to make it a success, Fitz. If they have a Jaron Duran, if they have a Willy Abreu, if they have a Tanner Houck, if they have a Sadon Rafaela, that's a pretty good season to develop a
massive
core,
season
to develop a core. Would you go that far? They're like the Red Sox have had a massive season in terms of development.
I think it's been an excellent season in terms of development for the Red Sox. And my only wish at the start of the season for the Sox was A, get us to Labor Day, like stay in the race. Be playoff competitive or wild card adjacent until Labor Day or at least the start of the football season. So we have something to care about all summer long or post Celtics.
Yep.
And then we tune into the Patriots for at least a week. And then we're on to Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's fine. They've done that. But two, for those who say that this season is a bust for the Red Sox because they held a wild card spot up until the middle of July, until they sadly opened after the All-Star break by going 4-8 or 4-9 in their first 12 or 13, which was really what kind of set them back. If they'd just gone 500, they'd be nipping at the heels of the wild card spot that much closer. But, you know, you can look to this team now, and you've got Rafaela, you've got Jaron Duran, you've got Casas, you've got Devers, you got a couple of pitchers. You now know who I won't say a full core, but at least a micro core to an evolving core is going to be that you can spend money on free agents to add to. You get Giolito back next year. And most importantly, the trio of studs, the mighty WooSox triumvirate of Teal, Anthony, and the oft-injured and way too overhyped Marcelo Meyer are coming up next year. And you get Trevor Story back. You'll get him for 12 games. But like, there's reason to believe that the Red Sox have had a successful season. Now, if you're the Patriots and you can find your Duran or you can find at least a Rafaela, that's huge for them. Because, as again, we pointed out in the first hour, Ken, there's no blue chips. Everyone in the world has said you have no players in the top 10 or even top 20, save for Kyle Duggar, which I believe was a generous anointing of him as a top 10 safety in the NFL right now. Hell, they didn't even come close to having a player in the top 100 of the NFL top 100 is voted on by coaches and peers.
Right.
If they had an NFL top 200, I don't know if the Pats would have had anyone.
Good point. And by the way, to throw a little bone to Bradfo, who's in a dune, he sat down with Roman Anthony yesterday in Worcester and also Christian Campbell. They had another guy kind of rise through the ranks this year and surprise. He's been an upside second baseman, maybe better even than, because the only downside of this whole thing is, Fitz, none of this is Breslau's doing. I mean, the trade deadline was a C at best, maybe worse.
Worse.
And
every reliever's in on
right.
the IL.
And the Vaughn Grissom trade, much as I'm patient, is not working out well, I would say, to say the least. Chris Sale is surging to the Cy Young. And this kid, Christian Campbell, might be your second baseman next year ahead of Vaughn Grissom, who you traded Sale for. So they are developing with pieces that were given to the team, you know, a couple years back. But anyway, at least they've got that going. And if the Patriots, you're right, like who in the Patriots rookie class, is it the receivers? Is it Baker and Polk? Like that, I feel like those two, if they develop into legitimate rising, useful twos as receivers in the NFL, that's a good year for the Pats. They at least got something.
That's, you know, sadly, the Patriots made a catastrophic mistake last season by going with Juju Smith-Schuster in favor of Jacoby Myers, who even on a middling Raiders offense at best last year, put up a terrific season. It's not a Pro Bowl season, but it's a very good season. It's a competent starter. It's a quality number two receiver season. That they're going to regret that all year and maybe for another couple of years to come as they pay Juju Smith-Schuster to not be on the team, to actually go back and try to win another Super Bowl back in Kansas City. And watch, he'll have 53 catches for 600 yards and four touchdowns with Kansas City this year, which will just be all the more infuriating.
That is one of the worst signings in Boston sports history.
Easily.
I mean, not to throw hyperbole out, but that is a disaster.
Oh, it's not Carl Crawford, but that is,
it's bad.
Or the Panda at third, but that's a bad one. Now, and we heard now, Ken, there were conflicting reports last year that Belichick actually preferred Myers, but had his mind set on a certain price for him, and that he was convinced internally that for about the same price or maybe just a little less, they could get Smith-Schuster. So that's not just all at Bill's doorstep. That's an organizational failure last year, what they did. And also, Myers was homegrown talent. I hate that they...
Oh, it's the worst. You lose. It's the Mookie Betts syndrome, watching one of your guys go elsewhere.
Which they've done a U-turn on this particular season as well.
That's true. Maybe that led to some of the Pats guys getting kept in-house.
Finding your Jaren Durant, I don't think it's going to be Jalen Polk. I think Jalen Polk could be a Rafaela type, as in like, oh, good, they found a Jacoby Myers-esque player. They found somebody with sure hands who gets open, who's dependable on third down. He could be a great 2/3 receiver. Some say, oh, that's all he's going to be. That's the best you could hope for. Every team needs a trio, a triumvirate of quality receivers. And if Jalen Polk becomes a new Myers for you after you lost out on your own guy, that's a plus. But to say someone is going to be the new Durant is almost impossible. Like the numbers that Jaren Durant is putting up this season, he's, in addition to top three or four in WAR in MLB, he's doing things statistically that no player in the history of baseball has done before. So I don't see who in the NFL, or rather who in the Patriots.
Well, it's also his fourth year. Like, so which Patriot who's had some foundational seasons is ready to take off? I mean, Duggar's too old for that tag, right? It would have to be like a Christian Gonzalez or maybe Uche. I don't know. How long has Uche been around now? He's been around a long time.
This is Uche's. Josh Uche was a 2020 pick, so this is his fifth year.
All right, so maybe Uche. Like, if he becomes a 13-sack guy, you know, that's a Jaren Durant type season. That would be
Mark
huge.
Mark that one down, Braverman. 13 sacks out of Josh Uche?
Yeah, I mean, okay, let's take eight.
You know? Here's the sad reality, Ken. They don't have that guy yet. There's no one on this team right now.
Keon White. Let's say Keon White surprises you. Mm-hmm. And as a defensive end, he's Aaron Donald, or I guess Donald played inside more. But who would be the comp there? He's Richard Seymour.
I think McGinnis is probably
McGinnis. Okay,
your dream ceiling for him in that he can rush the passer, drop back like a linebacker with his unique speed that he has for somebody on his frame, but can also shift inside and push the pocket. Yeah.
What if Pop Douglas takes a step? I mean, is that possible that he becomes closer to Edelman or something like someone to, you know? Just I'm looking at a guy who's been around for a year at least, or two. We've seen a flash, and then they're going to take the next step.
Is it you or me, or is it just every Patriots fan now that holds their breath every time Pop Douglas catches the ball in traffic? Like, the fact that he got his bell rung twice last year.
Yeah, true.
I'm just always afraid. Like, there's I can't believe they let this guy fall all the way to the sixth round crowd, sadly, is now being mitigated by there's a reason why this guy fell to the sixth round crowd, because he is so diminutive and because he's a bit fragile. Like, that's just the reality. The kid operates at a different speed and can be a real game changer for the Pats, but I am nervous AF. Like, he almost looks, Hart pointed out after the Commanders game last week to finish up the amazing preseason, that he looks like he's trying to make too many plays every time the ball is in his hands now. Like, he almost looks like Brandon Cooks when he was so overreactionary at the start of Super Bowl 52, and then he got ear holed and was out for the rest of the game. Like, Pop just needs to catch the ball and get out of bounds.
Yeah, and unfortunately for him, they're not going to throw it much. So when he gets an opportunity, he's going to be trying to make something happen. Let's go to Steve in the truck here on the Ken and Fitzy show. Hello, Steve.
Fitzy.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
How you doing, brother?
Doing very well. Nice to hear your voice.
You too. My always pleasure to hear you. I got to take you and Ken to task a little bit, not a lot. If you really think that the Pats are going to beat Cincinnati, can I ask you what you think the score is going to be, like maybe 6-0? Because I don't see them scoring a lot. No, I mean, I'm not being a jerk.
No.
How are they going to score? I just don't see them scoring. And they're not going to – are they going to shut Cincinnati? Because, I don't know, you're right about Joe Burrow coming back and maybe be rusty, but I just don't see him containing that team. And, Kenny, I love you. You know I love you. Mm-hmm.
But
is there anything Brady can do that you won't bitch about? I mean, come on. Will you please? It's
I'm not
a
bitching. I'm pointing out the – he
no,
can't say anything.
Him.
I don't hate him. He's just going to be awful on television, and Belichick is laughing.
You don't know that. You have no idea. And
I
you know
that.
What? Chris says – you say that thing to Chris all the time, and Chris always gives it back to you because he's a Brady – like me, he's a Brady boy. But, I mean, give the guy a shot, a chance. I mean, no matter what he does –
it's not even his fault. He's not allowed to go visit. He's not allowed to have a site visit. He's not allowed to criticize the officials or the league. What is he going to say?
Why isn't he allowed?
Well, that story broke this week because he's a minority owner of the Raiders. He's under heavy restrictions.
I thought that was gone. He wasn't a minority owner anymore. But that's still in play?
I guess it's still in play. I don't know. Fitzy, what are the details on that? Is he
Steve, the Raiders, the partial Raiders ownership is still in play, and the NFL ruled this week that if Brady continues to pursue this and is successfully awarded partial ownership, then he is not going to be able to visit facilities because he's going to be – that's another owner going inside the facilities of another team. That gives an unfair competitive advantage, and he will not be allowed to criticize the league and especially officials when he's doing the games on Fox.
Which, I mean, how can that happen? How could you be on Fox as the number one team and not be able to criticize officials? That's like the whole game these days.
Yeah,
I don't know, not the whole game. I liked Olsen. I guess I don't understand why.
He won the Emmy 2 years in a row, for God's sakes.
He could be back by week three.
Oh, my.
Put him back in
Ken.
There.
Ken.
Fire Brady.
Wow. If you think, you know, this reminds me back of this is like a good trip back to the old Fitzy and Laird days a couple years ago when you were like, oh, you know, there was a plan. He was getting a land deal. You know, they were giving him some of that. You're the one criticizing his elbow. Fitzy, what's going on? Tom Brady stinks. I love the grudge match.
I'm glad that you have such great fond memories of the Fitzy and Laird.
No, it's hilarious. I always think they're funny. And then people started saying like, oh, Fitzy, I heard you turn it on Brady on Saturday.
I was like, that
was Laird.
Oh, you turned on him. It was impossible in that era not to turn on him. He was acting douchey. But anyway.
It were rough times. It was a rough season.
I don't want to rip Brady. I think he's a fine
I think
gentleman.
He's going to be good, Ken. I think he's going to be good in the
disagree,
booth. But
agree to disagree.
Which is what makes for good talk radio. I just think he needs to drop this foolish pursuit of partial ownership of a team while he's currently one of the lead commentators. Like, establish yourself in that multimillionaire's realm first before you move on to the next one.
Good point by a texter, 508. The player, the Jaron Duran of the Patriots, would have been Christian Barmore. That is a devastating blow to have Barmore.
Yeah, that's we may be underselling exactly how significant the Barmore loss is for a portion of, if not for the entire season. If you remember, granted, it was against the Broncos who were almost out of it on Christmas Eve, but the way that he absolutely just dominated that game, he got paid $92 million in the offseason, and it wasn't an accident. It's very unfortunate what's gone on. You hope first for the young man's health, but then if there's any chance he can get back on the field halfway through, that would be a coup for the Pats.
All right, here until noon, it is Ken Laird, Nick Fitzy Stevens. By the way, check out the great work that Fitzy does weekly, sometimes daily, on the Six Rings podcast, Six Rings from Football Things. Follow it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. He and Hart still going strong. And they'll be back with the Six Rings postgame show right after the game next week. If not right after, pretty soon after. Red Sox play next Sunday afternoon. But when that wraps up, those guys will take over. We want your Pats thoughts. Join us, 617-779-7937. Or your Red Sox thoughts. They are 70-65, Fitz, 27 games to go. If they play 500-ish baseball, they're sitting around 84, 85 wins. That might get it done. Not sure. Might. Depends how bad the Twins are. So as you got your wish. Here they are. It's Labor Day, mm-hmm. and they're in it. They're officially in it. So give them some credit. And you can also rip them for not doing anything at the deadline. Maybe they actually would be a wild card team. Be that as it may, here's Joe B. ready to trend.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
On the road, we hit a home run every 24 at-bats. We're fourth in the big leagues. At home, we hit a home run every 31 at-bats with 21st in the big league. So instant offense is something that is important, too, at the big league level. And as you know, Fenway is conducive for right-handed pull hitters. You know, it helps them. You know, the wall is right there. We saw it with Suarez, Altuve, Bregman. We got, you know, in the lineup most of the time, we got three. O'Neill is the real power threat. The rest of them are, you know, good hitters, you know, that hit the ball the other way. Most of our hitters, the good ones, are left-handed hitters. And when they go the other way, usually it's a double. So it's not an excuse. It's the reality of it. And as far as the offensive part of it, like, you know, we have to manufacture runs at home. And then on the road, we hit the ball out of the ballpark. So that's part of it, too.
Good answer from Cora this week on the afternoon show with Arcand and Hart. Ken Laird here along with Nick Fitzy-Stevens, but also kind of a sneaky dig at the front office, I thought, Fitz, because he's pointing out what is, he's got stats to back it up. It's accurate. They're not hitting as many homers at Fenway. It's built for righties. Other than Tyler O'Neill, you've got no right-handed sluggers, well, other than Sadon, who last night hit you one on the road. But anyway, they are lefty-heavy, obviously. They're a little flawed. I thought that's a little sneaky shot at the organization for how this team was built. And maybe a plea in the offseason to fix that. Like, would Alex Bregman, for instance, fit nicely into this lineup?
Oh,
maybe,
sure.
Maybe not at third base, but find a way to somehow get him involved. Somebody like that would be a splash signing in the offseason.
Yeah, the need for a right-handed power bat has plagued this team all season long. And while they certainly addressed a significant pressing need at the trade deadline by bolstering the bullpen, considering that the starting arms were faltering and have been inconsistent since. And unfortunately, that look how that worked out, because all the bullpen arms end up on the injured list as well. So that kind of blew up. Good intentions, but it didn't work out the right way. What they need is the guy that they paid all that money to a couple years ago that has done squat since he got here, is Trevor Story. Like,
true.
They needed somebody that could hit 260, play plus-level defense, and hit 25 home runs. Like, it seemed like even though his splits away from Coors Field should have been an indicator as to exactly what you were getting in on, that he would have been the right kind of guy for them as well. You know, here's another one of these sliding door, letting your own guy go in favor of someone else outside the organization that you think would be an improvement but turns out isn't. The Juju Smith-Schuster thing for the Patriots, crossing sports alert, everybody, I apologize. When Waze tells you, like, railroad crossing coming up in half a mile, like, I'm not going to get hit by a train, Waze, but I appreciate that. Thank you. So this is the Smith-Schuster in favor of Myers is exactly the same, in my estimation, as letting Xander walk for Trevor Story. In fact, that was even probably worse.
Well, I don't like that comparison, because wasn't it really Devers or Xander? You could keep one, and they chose correct. I mean,
why could they only keep one?
Okay. I mean, the contract for Bogaerts is just outrageous. I mean, he's not going to live up to that contract.
No, but they let it get to that.
I get it, like, you want the owner to spend unlimited dollars, but it's just not happening. I mean, you have to look at it within a budget viewpoint. I know it's John Henry and he's got $1 billion, but fine. They're not going to spend over the tax every year. You had a choice to make. They chose correct on that one. Mm-hmm. Not with Story, maybe, because he's not lived up to it. You're right about that.
What if you put those two on the back burner and absolutely redo the Mookie Betts trade?
So Mookie, of course, is more complicated. He didn't want to be here. They
still don't know why.
Probably lost that trade. I will come around to admit that now. It's probably a losing trade for you.
I don't know, kid. Are you sure the returns are in?
They won the Vasquez trade, though. They got Willier. I mean, look, they've made some bad decisions. There's no doubt about that. But going forward, just to spin this forward, like, how do they fix that? And is Cora right? They need a right-handed power battle. Like, Pete Alonso, would he have been the guy they should have gotten at the deadline to fix that?
You know, it's funny, when the rumors were swirling and they were talking about it a lot on our sister station, WFAN, I hopped on the old text machine and I sent Bradfo a ping asking if that was the right move to make. And I believe he replied, "I like where your head is at, but I don't like the fit."
Doesn't fit in the clubhouse here.
I mean,
like, he's a problem child.
I mean, isn't he a power right-handed hitting guy that's going to, like,
I guess people felt like Casas was coming back and he didn't need a... But they needed a first baseman, actually. That's not true.
Everybody thought they needed a right-handed bat. I think it would have been a great fit and could be a great fit going forward.
The problem is they may here's one of the problems. Yes, in signing the right guy in Devers, that was a great long-term answer because he's had a terrific year. The defense is still spotty at times, obviously, and I'm being kind, but he's going to eventually have to end up playing DH, and they're going to have too many left-handed bats, which has been an issue all year, and they're eventually going to have too many guys that should be playing DH. I mean,
right. They already
want to see Yoshida. Yeah.
He's not even playing right now. Lou pointed that out. I heard the replay of that coming in this morning, and Merlone pointed out they're kind of screwed now. Devers has to DH, and one of their best hitters lately, Yoshida, can't play.
Yeah, it's a huge problem because he is a disaster in the field.
Now Alonso is almost 30. He's going to get like 5 years, $130 million per reports. So that's a big investment in the offseason for a right-handed bat. And with Casas, you know, what are you going to do, platoon him? So I don't know what the answer there is. You know, it's – and Bregman's obviously a third baseman, so unless you just make Devers a DH, those are the premier offseason – unless you go – Soto, I mean, they really, he's a lefty.
That's
another
lefty bat.
But still, it doesn't matter. Soto's going to mash no matter where you put him.
What do you think he's honestly going to cost? If he turned down $400-something million dollars reportedly from, it was either Washington or San Diego or possibly both, what do you think
he's going to get? He's Shohei money. He's probably what he wants.
He's not Shohei. He's very, very good. He's not Shohei Ohtani.
I know, but
there is a single Shohei Ohtani.
I know. And just to see, what did he hit 43 and 43 yesterday. 43 homers, 43 steals.
What kind of Shohei are we talking? Because remember, he's deferred and he's got 2.5. So he'll get $600 million later.
Just defer all the money.
That's a pretty impressive season. What is it? 293, 37 ding-dongs, 96 ribeyes, 109 runs scored. Like Soto's having a tremendous season.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's the right year to have that kind of season as well.
Yes, it is.
He's also hitting in a toy box. He's hitting in the equivalent of one of those old-timey arcade games you see where you put a quarter in and you use like the big lead stick to hit the pinball around on the old baseball machine. Yep. Like, come on, Yankee Stadium is 2.0 is a joke. Okay, and it's perfectly tailored for him. And if he's smart, he takes a giant check from the Yankees and he stays where he fits and he can be a hero for a decade to come alongside the best right-handed hitter in baseball.
I'm looking up the Soto spray chart. There are many to right, but quite a few to left center. It's not really monster territory.
Never thought I would live long enough for the phrase spray chart to be used validly in a conversation.
In the meantime, let's go to Rick in Salem, talking Cora and the Red Sox. Hello, Rick. Hello, Rick. Rick.
Oh, brother. Brother, real fast. 1 second. Let me get you off speakerphone.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah?
We're here.
One second.
Take your time.
Trying to find this thing. All right, you still there?
We're here, Rick. Go ahead.
All right, brother, I want to get back to last night's game.
Yep.
If they had lost that game last night, that's going right in the lap of Alex Cora, because Cora had no business bringing Bernardino back out for the eighth inning.
True.
Okay? You're trying to secure a game with this few amount of games left in this season. Ready? You go, ready, with a 4-0 lead, Martin for the ace, ready, and Kenley Jansen for the ninth with a 4-0 lead, instead of playing around with this Bernardino. We've got burnt by this guy's more time. Ready? I'm coming to this. Alex Cora is way overrated as a manager. I don't care how you guys spin it. There's guys, Detroit Tigers, and managers like that are right in the Red Sox heels. Kevin Cash, where is this Cora so great that his team's finished last 3 of the last 4 years?
Well, he's outmanaged Cash head-to-head in the postseason. Thank you, Rick, for the call. I think he – last night's a good point. They should not have brought Bernardino back out for the eighth. Start Slayton there, whatever. But they won the game, so I don't know. His magical show up to the park at 5:30 p.m. is working for the most part.
I think the thing that we all like about Alex Cora, like it's in the Cora soup. It's the combination of how good he is with the media and the fans, the bilingual navigation of a clubhouse in the modern era is also a plus level asset for him. And I like how he toggles between a good old-fashioned baseball manager and the contemporary analytics juggler. Like I think he does a good job. I think he does a good job with that. I don't think guys like Lou Merlone love Alex Cora just because they know him from their playing days. I think they legitimately admire his ability to be able to navigate all of this, never get too hot. It's not his fault. When you say, like, oh, they finished last place a couple, you know, too often in the last several years, he'll be the first one to tell you he mishandled in 2019 getting the starters ramped up coming off of that epic postseason and World Series championship run in the fall of 2018. But I don't think too often that Alex Cora has made such glaring mistakes or botched situations that we should be looking at him on the firing line or looking down upon him as a detriment to the team, more as an asset. I'm a fan. I'm just I like him. I'm glad they re-signed him. And I think having stability at the manager position, knowing the change this team is undergoing now and what they're going to go through next year by adding all the kids, is a huge plus to have a stabilizing force like him as the manager.
Also, how about those calls when he was pinch hitting Yoshida and Romy Gonzalez and they actually paid off? One mistake. Can a manager have like five mistakes during a 162 game season?
No.
Like,
no.
Come on.
Not allowed.
Also, Kenley Jansen, terrific guy.
He's fading. He is fading.
He is hitting the wall. Fading.
Which
his fastball is flattening out big time.
Rich Hill for closer. Get the man in there. Get him ready to go. 413 texter, good idea.
All right.
You're an idea man, Fitz.
Mm-hmm.
Make an offer that Toronto can't refuse for Vlad.
Best thing I've heard.
Bring in Vlad. That would be would ruin Bradfo's annual who's better, Vlad or Devers tweet.
What if you could just have the two of them? You could have...
that would be a 1-2 punch.
Vlad and Devers on the corner. Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to... You or any Sox fan, you'd probably have to part ways with Casas in the deal, right?
It would make him certainly...
more expendable?
Expendable. And for a guy who, you know, has been a little bit of a squeaky wheel here, sometimes in a good way, but contract-wise, doesn't seem to be going particularly well, you could trade him and Swayman together.
Vlad Guerrero Jr., I know everyone in Toronto is having a down year. But still, Vladdy's got 27 days. He's hitting .321.
Oh, he's been white hot.
Yep.
They pitched him ridiculous the other day. There's a core criticism. For some reason, he tried to challenge Guerrero the entire series, and it bit him.
He's 25 years old, by the way. So even though he's been around MLB for an age, for a hot minute, he's still a youngster by all means and has his prime ahead of him. Tristan Casas, by the way, is a year younger. This Vlad Guerrero.
This That's Mets it. Series, by the way, now that we were talking polar bear, is going to be a good one. The Mets are kind of hanging around, right?
Yeah, they have.
Bubble teams. This is like an elimination series, which Detroit kind of is too, because they're not far on your heels. We got good baseball to tide us over here.
Yeah. Right now, if you had to bet who you think is going to make it to the World Series, Ken, would you go chalk and go Yanks Dodgers?
Oh, man. Diamondbacks are hot, though they lost head-to-head to the Dodgers yesterday.
But they did this last year where they snuck in.
Look, we get it. You went to Arizona like a month ago, and you came back with a bunch of souvenirs. We know you like Arizona.
I went to Chase Field and got to see in person Luis Gonzalez and the big unit. And
did Curtis
made a joke
take a jump
the first
ball?
Time I've ever seen a big unit. Fine. Good joke by Curtis.
That's such a Curtis joke.
That is a classic Curtis joke.
Did you jump in the pool?
No, but I went out there. I didn't have access to the pool. But it was a good take. I like Torrey Lovello. I'm a Diamondbacks fan.
Oh, there's a guy. When they lost Cora for that time, had they promoted Torrey Lovello, I think he would still be here. Excellent manager.
And I can't pick the Yankees. This is Baltimore's year. Even though they're just hiding, they're laying in the weeds. So
really?
Baltimore Diamondbacks would be my pick. Yes.
I'm going to go chalk. I think we're going to get a good old-fashioned early 80s Yankees. The superpowers prevail this year. I mean, I know a lot of people also want to say the Phillies, too. But, man, the way the Phillies just tanked in the postseason, the Diamondbacks just ate their lunch.
413 texter calling hypocrisy. Casas is a home run guy. Homegrown guy. Mm-hmm. You just sung their praises. Vlad will cost more than him as well. Stop with this.
Yeah, but Vlad Guerrero is not trading for Juju Smith-Schuster. Vlad Guerrero is not Trevor Story. If anything, if you've got Alex Cora, if you listen to the thank you, appreciate the text 413, but if you just heard Alex Cora saying there's this massive differential between the home runs on the road and at home, and that Fenway is the same way Yankee Stadium 2.0, that mausoleum in the Bronx, is built to take advantage of lefty hitters, this Red Sox lineup would have 100 more home runs if they played their home games there, whereas Fenway Park is made for right-handed hitters. I know David Ortiz thrived there, but he was phenomenal at going oppo a lot of times at Fenway, and he was also David Ortiz. He was an absolute unicorn. But you're telling me that you don't think Vlad Guerrero Jr., yes, he'll cost more. It's not your money, number one. And number two, you don't think he would feed on the regular at Fenway? Get out of here.
Back to the Patriots, 603 and Jacoby Myers. Do you think this is true? Texter says, Jacoby Myers embarrassed the team with one of the most epic regular season gaffes in sports history. Therefore, Belichick wasn't giving him a top contract. Do you think that play in and of itself was so humiliating for Bill?
Zero. No. That no.
It's hard to believe.
Because what was more humiliating for Belichick in that game, and I was there for that game as well. That was a hell of a way to spend my wife's birthday.
Flex. See, I flex Chase Field. You flex Allegiant Stadium.
Ken, there is no great... There is no... Ken, it's... All right. We could do a 20-minute breakdown on what everything that went into that game. From the fact that I got a text the next week from a friend that said, hey, how come the halftime show at Allegiant Field for Raiders Patriots was a 12-minute concert from Little John, and the halftime show at Gillette the next week was you standing on the field playing tic-tac-toe with military veterans?
I'd take the Fitzy tic-tac-toe, personally.
But, so, it was...
or dogs catching frisbees.
Oh my God.
You can't mess with that.
Same thing. But, you know, more embarrassing for the Patriots in that particular game was scoring two touchdowns on a first and goal drive and having neither of them count because one was a penalty and the other was a timeout in the Patricia reverse-engineered offensive debacle of 2022. On top of, oh, I don't know, everyone being so confused that they thought it was okay to improvise, don't blame Myers. Blame Ramondre because he decided to freelance on the final play of the game, turned around and threw it to Myers. Myers was just thinking, hell, I didn't want to be in this situation. If anything, he probably should have just run out of bounds and said, hell no, I'm not doing this. But everybody was trying so hard to make something happen because the team at large was so confused. You can't just individually blame Myers, as bad a decision as that was. And then Mac Jones, just letting Chandler Jones plant him in the ground. They should have traded him that the next week.
What would Toronto want in a trade for Guerrero? Back to that. I mean, offer you can't refuse is what? Casas, Marcelo Meyer, and something else? I don't know. Would you
maybe
would you make that
at least two of those top four prospects?
I'd say Casas. I'd be comfortable with Casas, Meyer, and an arm, and a draft pick, and then just like a draft pick.
I don't know if they would make that trade, but then maybe they are. They got a year left on the guy, and they're probably not going to pay him, right? So maybe it is the perfect time for Toronto to make the move. I want Bradfo's take on that at 11:45. We'll get him in for a crossover.
That would be our new Manny. Do you remember the excitement? Ken, you were out of market at the time.
No, but I was here. I was in college.
Oh, right. Okay. So
Manny.
The combination of the energy Pedro brought and how excited people were when they signed Manny.
Well, Manny was like first in a. It was a different, it changed everything. I mean, that was a different landscape of Boston sports. You would agree. Mm-hmm. But
it started with Pedro, and then by the time they got Manny, then it felt like the turn was underway.
Yeah.
And then Mo Lewis, you know, basically solidified the entire turn year and a half later.
And what a way for the ownership and Breslow to win fans over by making a splash trade and acquisition and then signing to follow it. You know, that would be a home run offseason.
I'd take the over on 41.5 home runs next year at Fenway if they traded for Vlad.
Would you trade Casas for Vlad Guerrero? 617-779-7937. Football starting. Clemson and Georgia. Noon kickoff today, I believe.
Good game.
Miami and Florida today. Notre Dame, Texas A&M tonight. Penn State at West Virginia. Always a good one. So you got a couple to watch today.
Notre Dame A&M is a sneaky good Saturday night game.
Yeah, that's a very good game.
And wait, now is Notre Dame part of the Pac-12?
I have no idea who's in any conference at this point.
It's, what a mess. None. Just blow it up and start over with the conference. The Big 18 and the – you don't have – West Coast teams in the ACC, it makes no sense.
Making no sense for another hour and a half, it's Fitzy and Laird with you until noon. This is EEI.
I just want to say, you guys keep talking about a $20 million roster.
Yeah.
If you don't pay the right guys, you'd be out of luck.
That's life, baby. That's life.
Congratulations. You just broke the internet.
That's close. If you have it
down, till the love runs out. All right. We got Nick Saban filling it on TV. Maybe Brady will be good, too, after all. Saban is dropping S-bombs, Fitzy. College football and college game day off and running. It does Love feel it. Like finally football has crossed the threshold. It took me a while to get in. Fantasy drafts are flying everywhere. People are back. People are in.
Ken, are you, at this point in your life, are you enjoying fantasy, online wagering, wins pools? Like, what are you enjoying the most? Because I got to say, by and large, I don't really enjoy fantasy football.
Fantasy draft is out. Yeah, I would agree. It's definitely faded. I still am in a league with some buddies. I appreciate being in the league. It's not what it was, but I would miss not having one.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely the gambling apps have changed the game. I mean, I don't wager much out of football season, but in football season, I liked that last year. That was good to have.
Yeah, I don't
either. Because you watch the neutral games, and you want a little extra juice on the neutral games, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. And also, it becomes more entertaining to have a 3 or a 5-way parlay going
right
just for the hell of it to make the slog of Thursday night football or a Sunday when you know the Patriots are more than likely to get waxed or it's not going to be nearly as interesting as it was before. And yes, we're trying to be patient and let the kids play it out, but I'd rather try to win $100 as opposed to sit around and spend 50 watching the Pats play like crap. An idea popped up that I would like to. Can I float a quick test balloon by you real quick?
Of course.
Okay, so if I were in charge of football, I had this conversation the other night because I'm coaching my 11-year-old boys' grade 5-6 flag football team this fall and having a blast doing it as well.
Okay.
So we were talking about the rules in flag football and how, you know, it's going to be an Olympic sport in 2028, and Hart has that theory that it's a little bit of a tester by the NFL to see what the appetite for it is, especially if they allow NFL players to play in the Olympics. And, you know, does the audience at large that loves the violence of NFL football want to see flag football on the regular because people are getting hurt and it has deleterious effects, obviously. We know this. How about this idea? To make the product that is Thursday Night Football, which we think is a kind of a lousy product, and people are complaining, you're just getting over your aches and pains Wednesday, Thursday morning, tops, and now you got to go get in 3 hours of human car crashes again. This is miserable. What if going forward, all Thursday night games were flag?
Oh, God. That is a horrible idea.
All right.
Are you serious about that?
What? That's the bit. You know, it's an 18-game season, 2 bye weeks, Thursday night games, contact-free.
Ah, God. I mean, we'll get there eventually, but I don't want to inject it that early. We're already losing everything. Did you see the Globe headline today? In Massachusetts, the once-thriving beer biz is losing its fizz.
It is.
Craft beer no longer the hopped up industry it was. That's like a shot at you directly. It's a shot at your livelihood.
Awful. I cried several double dry hop Simcoe tears when I read that.
He was so upset he ran to the bar and had a drink.
It's like the world is changing.
Joe.
Kickoffs are gone. Kickoffs are gone. IPAs are gone. And you want flag football on Thursdays. I mean, God.
Just to prolong the lives and careers of these.
It's electric cars everywhere you turn. There's not a 6-cylinder to be found.
Ken, when did you make this big red state layered pivot?
Why? There's a couple things I'm holding on to as a man. God, jeez.
Fitzy, you say something about bike lanes, you'll fit right at home on this show.
I'm a Gen X guy. I'm an American. God, I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, nails and raw liver for breakfast.
I'm not Greg Hill, but geez. I mean, the couple things I would like to keep on the planet for a little while. Yeah, flag football Thursdays.
Never saw my dad drink a glass of water in my whole life. Hey, wait. Yeah, you think, hold on a second. I'll be happy to storm Omaha Beach. Let me just get a quick sip of this filtered alkaline plus water from my Nalgene.
Can I just backpedal on this?
Give me the ball and, let me bang.
You actually would support this. A flag football
I said
Thursday
it's a
night
test
game.
I said we were, Ken, aren't there supposed to be no bad ideas in a brainstorm?
I know, but this really deserves some introspection and some follow-up. I mean, this is shocking coming from you. I mean, you're a football guy going back through and through.
I am, but also like the...
Your father used to place bets on every NFL game every weekend. You used to sit there as a young lad and like chart the over-unders, right? I mean, this is in your blood. I appreciate the 11-year-old Flag Football League is impressing you.
Uh-huh.
But you want to shift the Thursday night game to all flag football.
Did you not see the headline in the New York Times on August 27th? Alabama high school football player dies after suffering brain injury. Tragic.
Now you're trying to pull at the heartstrings. I mean, God.
No, I'm just saying the appetite for less contact may be there. And the NFL, and that Andy Hart floated that theory by us a while ago. And I kind of liked it at the time. And I think it's growing on me a bit more that perhaps the NFL realizes they're going to get R.J. Reynolds or Philip Morris at some point, and people are not going to have the same appetite. You know, you saw it was a tough season when you had Tua go into the fencing position after the concussion on Thursday. And I think it was against the Bengals. God, that stadium was cursed that year. And then, of course, the DeMar Hamlin tragedy that fortunately turned around thanks to those, miracle workers on the field that night.
Yeah, but doesn't it get to a point where if you're going to play, you're going to accept the risk? One,
sure.
Thursday flag football is not saving you from Sunday car crashes.
Have you watched some of these games? You're telling me that the quality of play wouldn't be a little bit better?
Well, that's different. I mean, it's just subpar play. It doesn't mean they're more likely to be concussed, does it?
Because they're all still, they can barely have their legs underneath them. Now, I'm sure that Jabril Peppers and David Andrews of the world right now would hear this take and just be like, oh, that's it, I'm out.
Right.
But just a thought. We're mid-conversation.
All right, fine. It's a brainstorm. I mean, I'm not going to read all these texts, but I've had how many drinks does Fitzy had? Fitzy needs to be drug tested. We got a missing Curtis text. We got the dumbest take ever. So it's a brave take from you, and I appreciate it. Now,
again, I've been one to tell you many times here on the station. Yeah, nah, no wonder why the guy's only on the weekends. I've told you before, I am not for fear of being the lone inhabitant of unpopular take island. Just
the trade for Vladdy take, though, is a popular one on the text line, except for Bradford. Now, Bradford says, why would you trade 5 years of Tristan Casas for one of Vlad? To which my text response was, of course, you would sign him to an extension and get Cora his right-handed bat at Fenway. To which Bradford says, fine, except, he says, I agree, except getting an extension done is easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fair. I mean, you could be like a Judon situation. You trade for the guy, and then you never get the extension done. And then you're left holding
the bag.
You go
into it with a good idea that you're going to even surprise yourself, let alone Vlad and his representation, by offering him, not coming in and being like, how's 6 years, $25 million sound, Vladdy? Like, no, you go in there ready to pay top of market, full well knowing this is going to be one of your building blocks for the next 5 to 7, 8 years. Kid is an awesome baseball player.
Well, I don't know what's ahead in the final hour of the program, but I guarantee an even worse take than ones you've heard already. I'm guaranteeing it. And by noon, Bradford will be here. It is Laird and Fitzy.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.